hello, this is Justin from the Cult TV Club. Today we've been watching Around the Twist, and we've been watching the Spaghetti Pig Out episode, which is Season 1, Episode 5. And I thought what we'd do is we'd go around the table to see what people have been watching recently. So we'll start over here.
My name's Angus. Mainly, recently, I've been watching university lectures, so...
Pure excitement.
Mathematics. Excellent.
I'm Gypsy, and I've been watching a lot of kids' shows, like Gravity Falls.
Gravity Falls.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I like Gravity Falls, too. I am Alex, and I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos of people playing video games, because I am weird.
Not weird at all.
No.
My name's Lisa. At the moment, I'm watching 12 Monkeys, and last night, my daughter introduced me to Teen Titans Go, which is another animated show, and it is absolutely wasted on her, because it's so good.
Hi, I'm Jeanette. The odd episode of Doctor Who. I've been watching totally non-cult TV, things like Macbeth. So. Mm.
And I'm Justin, and I've been watching bad 90s sci-fi.
Which one's in particular?
Today I watched the comic book classic Spawn, which is sort of supernatural mayhem. Okay, so we've just been watching Spaghetti Pig Out from Round the Twist. Perhaps someone would like to tell us what that was about.
Well, Round the Twist is basically, I'll go into later about its history, but this specific episode involves a remote control that you can actually use on other people and other objects. So you switch it to fast forward, they suddenly act really fast forward. Pause, they pause, repeat, they end up doing the same action over and over again until, thankfully, they give the explanation that after 5 minutes it stops working. Otherwise, I'd be very, very sad for the people caught in the infinite loops of their actions. But yeah, and the Spaghetti Pig Out in question is an eating competition, which one of the characters uses to cheat. But yeah, basically you get to see a lot of very easy video trickery to make things fast, make things slow, make things pause.
Yes, but effective.
Yeah,
it's very funny.
Yeah, I also think maybe that they actually are that good, because there are some scenes where I know how difficult it would be, especially with 80s technology, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And actually have it look convincing and clean and fluid, and actually, so say, one character is being quick and the character is next to them not, and having that still work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
What year was it actually made?
I think it was the late 80s. I'm going to say 87 or 88.
I look it up early today, but I've already forgotten. I think it was about
87,
sounds about right.
Sounds about right, yeah, because I would have been probably about 7 or 8 when that came out. But yeah, the actual show itself, I remember it, and just it was a huge show when it came out, and probably because it was marketed towards my age group, but it was like an anthology of episodes, and they were based on Paul Jennings' short stories, and all of his short stories were all of that vein, that really weird, creepy, gross out, just
very Australian.
Very Aussie.
Very Australian.
Really Australian. And what it's reminding me of, years ago, I think it was Angus, the class would have a toy that they'd have to bring home and they'd have to fill in a diary. And this one night, one of them brought this pony home and the diary that went with it. And I started reading it and I thought, oh, that's really odd. It changes tone completely halfway through. From being very right and proper, and the horses bright and proper, and the children very right and proper, and showing off to the very Aussie humour. And then I realised, oh, it comes from America. And halfway through, it's gone from America to Australia. So the first half are American school children, and the second half are Australian school children. And suddenly the pony's farting and burping and throwing up and just doing all the, and being naughty and answering back, and complete shift. And this reminded me of that, because the children writing it would have been the kids that were watching Round the Twist. It was that same humour. And I'm not sure that's so prevalent in Australia now.
Yeah, and also, like, say, just mentioning Gravity Falls, like, I'm a fan of Gravity Falls and Adventure Time and Steven Universe and so on, and it's nowhere close to the same sort of humour as the other shows.
Adventure Time's finished. They're not making any more.
Yeah.
They just announced the end of it. I saw today.
Yeah. There's some of the episode names on here, like Skeleton on the Dunny and Without My Pants and things like that.
Yeah.
They're simply things that you don't hear anywhere else, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're very Australian.
Dunny, I think, has become important word now.
Yeah, I didn't remember the last time I used the word dunny.
No.
Apart from describing the land from the Myst games, which I don't think counts.
The end of the episode was a massive throwing up scene over the entire crowd, which they then threatened to put on repeat. And you just wouldn't see that anywhere else, I don't think.
No. And I think that was part of the appeal of the show, and it still is. Like, I think we were all cracking up during the episode because it is just so crude and gross and inappropriate, and you don't get enough of those shows, you know, and especially back then there wasn't, and probably still now, like, marketed towards kids.
Yeah, I think maybe you want to play a bit more safe, or if they're going to be a bit more rude about, then they have to actually be something that the advertisers won't be upset by, or the, or like, it's really like,
I'm get the audience backlash online that everyone is terrified of now.
Yeah, or worse, have the parents groups basically saying this invites our kids to do something, something, and have every single episode be censored because you can't have violence, you can't have anything too untoward.
So, has anybody seen that for the first time? Has anybody not seen Round the Twist before?
No, I grew up... I think the difference between Lisa and me is the fact that she grew up with the first series, I grew up with the second. There's a slight difference. So I do remember, for example, watching them again recently. For example, how environmentalist the second season was. They also had two other seasons, which were more recent, and they were not as good.
They were written by Paul Jennings.
No.
He pulled out.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the last two.
I was actually too late. I was all grown up by the time this was...
Sure.
This was happening. What about those who probably might have been too early, or did you get to see it? Or
when I was younger, I did get to see a couple of episodes, but that was so long ago for me, I don't remember any of them really.
Was that through the school system?
No, that was literally through just ABC TV.
Okay, so then that means that I would be the generation that they stop showing it. Because once you hit, like, year six, year seven, they, like, you literally didn't see it at, like, AV time during school sessions.
Oh, they used to show it at school?
Yeah, yeah, it used to be a big thing. And then once, like, when Australian humour changed at some point in time, it used to be, like, really in your face, like, crass and that sort of thing, like, back with the Big Gig and things like that. So that nowadays it's a lot more tame. And once I did the transition from primary school to high school, you really saw that change of, like,
what was that transition for you? Like, because, I mean, Lisa was, what, seven when the first season came out? I was just born then, so is it like another 5-10 years?
I don't know. I remember the change when I was, like, in year... six, year seven.
So that, like, year 2000, I think.
So we're dating the end of the larrikin culture here?
No, I think I moved up in, like, the 90s.
Oh, okay.
End of the 90s, yeah.
Sure.
So I saw the... remember the change then, like, Around the Twist was probably one of the last things to, like, really get pulled out of school.
Sure.
Because now they just show Disney films.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
I remember in school, the films we were showing were purely things like Little Mermaid or Lion King. It was, purely Disney.
So what did people think about the production values and the acting? Was it acting?
Yeah, I think it was okay for kids. I mean, kids can be very... Because, I mean, it's hard to act when you're not even sure what kind of person you are at that age. But yeah, I think there's some moments where, like, I could tell they are children actors. But most of the time, it's convincing or realistic and it actually works. I think it also helps that, like, say, most of the cast were actually, like, 11 or 10 or something on those lines. So old enough that basically, so the characters can be brash and loud and so on and have it be realistic and not... Like, as say, Bronson, the youngest of the Twist kids, he probably would, if we actually had an episode around him, it might be a bit more fake, because maybe a 5 or 7-year-old can't do it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the acting was pretty good for kids.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought they were all quite convincing, really.
Yeah,
they're kids. And I love to hear that Australian accent, because it's just not one you hear so often. Less and less, I think,
I wonder whether that ochre Aussie accent, do you think that was put on a little bit, or do you think that was actually the way they spoke? Is that the 80s way of talking?
I think it's
they're Victorian, and I'd say the kids are all Victorian.
Yeah,
so they do have a stronger, slightly more ochre accent in Victoria, and they probably were just sorts, because it was a lot of it filmed around Williamstown.
But yeah, also probably maybe our accents are getting a bit more away from the ochre. I mean, like, it's a generation since then, and we're probably maybe Americanized a bit, maybe a bit less harsh.
South Australia's never had an ochre accent.
Yeah.
South Australian accent's always been quite different to the rest of Australia. So when we went overseas, people didn't believe we were Australian.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the accent they associate with Australia.
One of the things I thought about the entire thing was that it had a bit of a surreal nature to it.
Yeah, a bit.
There's many, many disjointed events that are weird and out there, and it lends a bit of a surreal feeling to it all.
I think as well, of course, any other series, it had to explain why the remote control does this, but they don't.
No, it just doesn't.
That's right. It's magic realism.
Yes, it is. Very.
The show as a whole's got a very absurdist feel to it, and they really revel in that. It's enjoyable. Thanks for that.
Wondered, I'm guessing that remote controls were still a bit of a novelty at the time this was made as well.
I mean, like VCRs.
Yes.
The first ones came out in the early 80s, I guess, for the average consumer, so it would still be a new thing.
Yeah. And at first they had cables, because I know my cousin, when I came to Adelaide in mid-80s, she had a VCR with a cable, and the cat bit through it. It didn't get electrocuted, the cat.
Then they went to acoustic remote controls, and then finally to IR ones that we use these days. Okay, so what do people think generally about Round the Twist? Is it something that people would recommend? And if you recommend it, who would you recommend it to?
I loved it, and I think it held up, and I was surprised because I didn't think it would hold up. I would definitely recommend it to my 8-year-old niece. She would love it. She'd be the right age to read the books, and she'd be the right age to watch the show. But I'd probably even recommend that for all ages, really. It's I sat and watched it and enjoyed it, and I think as long as you enjoy that type of comedy, I think you'd really enjoy it.
I actually enjoyed it as an adult watching it with the kids when they were little. So I watched probably not all of it. I thought there were some really novel ideas, and it was funny, and some of the ideas were quite novel. So I don't know how much of it we watched, but I definitely watched some with the boys when they were young and enjoyed it.
Yeah, so I've only watched a very few episodes of this, and every time I found it quirky enough that it sort of excited the mind a bit. It wasn't just sort of what you see every day. It's something, it's really completely different.
Yeah.
And so that it actually sparks a few neurons occasionally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Angus? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of that series of books, of course, with the heavy Aussie humour by
Paul Jennings.
Yeah, by Paul Jennings. And it's odd going back to it because I haven't read anything like that, and haven't been, I guess, subjected to that Aussie humour past 15 years or so. It's really going back to kind of those younger days.
Yeah, no, I definitely recommend it going forward. It's like a younger Australian version of, say, Monty Python, where it's got the weird humour, but it can appeal to, like, younger generations easily. Very easily. And it's a little bit softer in a sense as well compared to some Monty Python humour too, where it's like, oh, you didn't like that, you'll probably like this because, you know, it's much easier to relate to kids relating to kids or young adults relating to other Aussie kids.
I also just remembering, because I would recommend it quite heavily as well, even if it's just like a snapshot of this kind of crude humour that you would have loved as a kid. But I'm just remembering vaguely the other seasons they did, it was 2000 or so, the two recent ones, and they were just so much a drop in quality, and I think it was due to it not feeling genuine or some of the silliness feeling forced. It was like just the premise of, oh hey, let's give these kids a remote control that changes human beings, and having most of the humour flow naturally from that. So it does feel natural, even though it is some surreal elements, even though it's weird. It's just the fact that this is how kids would do if they were.
Exactly. So
let's just play a trick on this person and just make them fast forward or repeat. It's a joke, and it doesn't feel forced or anything.
And I think Gypsy hit the nail on the head with the lack of the larrikin humour. And I think, once it got rebooted down the track, they'd lost that spark. And I think a lot of television lost that Aussie humour spark.
Once you hit like halfway through the 90s, you can really see it. Like you honestly can really see it with everything, because humour went down, like everything just kind of changed over because it had to, because the government was against half the stuff that like was happening. The only thing that really stood any longer was Chaser's War and everything. And even that disappeared after a while. Nothing too out there like this would be shown on TV anymore.
And even then,
really,
I'm just thinking of the kind of weird stuff I see online. I don't think there's a lot of weird stuff online, but I don't think you could wrangle those people up and actually get them to do a TV show these days. So I think that seeing this sort of stuff on TV again is not going to be possible, because anybody with this kind of humour, anyone who's a bit out there, either they'll be wrangled and be in this sterile environment of TV writing, or they're just doing random memes on the internet and not actually being controlled in a way that would make sense for 13 episodes. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to have series like this ever again.
I think we will, but the creative license is going to be a lot different. If we wanted to produce more stuff like this, it would have to be crowdsourced. And then the person writing it would have to have creative freedom, as opposed to you can write within these lines and that's it.
Yeah.
Which is what...
Yeah, it's interesting the amount of TV that you do see that is very much of its time and couldn't be made in any other time. So you look at all these shows and you think, could that be made now? And the answer is probably not.
Yeah, I think... I mean, the actual humour, and it's like nothing in there is specifically 80s, except for when they're, say, measuring how much the stuff he's eating, measuring with a computer and printing it out with a with a dot matrix printer. That's pretty much the only printer.
That's what that note of ours is, the track printer.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only thing that sticks out as definitively 80s. Maybe a bit of Attitudes then as well. I think everything else would translate relatively well to the modern era.
Lack of mobile phones. That's
right. And also, and also the clunkiness of the remote control, which is very early remote controls rather than today, which is like 17 buttons and like,
Okay, well, thanks very much. We've covered Round the Twist, and perhaps next time we'll cover something more sci-fi, or we'll find out.
We'll have to decide.
Implying this wasn't sci-fi somehow.
Okay, thank you very much. See you.
Good night.
Good night.